Well, the financial crisis hitting the world, especially in the Western countries where people are very comfortable sitting in the exile if you're Jewish, could be a curse, could be a blessing. In one sense, it's a blessing if you want to look at the statistics for Aliyah or Jews coming and moving to Israel. It seems that with the financial crisis, the number of applicants to make Aliyah or to immigrate to Israel have gone up. And here to tell us a little bit more about that, we have joining us Dan Oberman. He's the Executive Vice President of Operations at Nefesh B'Nefesh. And he's here to tell us about what we can expect this summer in terms of the number of new Olim or new immigrants that are coming to Israel. Welcome to the show, Danny Oberman.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to be with you. I haven't talked with you for a long time. It's nice to be on the show.
Thanks.
So we're looking at a financial crisis. People are losing their jobs in America. The unemployment in California is around 13% now, if not higher. People are losing their jobs, they're losing their homes, and whenever things like this happen, it's a little jolt in people's lives, and they're starting to look at other options. How does that manifest itself with Nefesh B'Nefesh?
I think it's historic. What's happening is we're seeing level of interest, an unprecedented level of interest from North America. Just checked this morning, and over the last week, we've had on average 25 new inquiries every day. That's people starting the application process, which is a huge number. That's family units. And what we're seeing are people who had considered Aliyah, people visited from the past, had a connection, but were staying in North America because they were doing well, they were comfortable. And now it's not just people who have lost their jobs, it's people who don't foresee a serious upside in the near future. They see a massive debt accumulating in North America, I'm speaking on a national level, and feel that they have more opportunities to raise their families in Israel. So for the first time in history, the Israeli economy is looking better than the American economy, which is pretty incredible.
So can people who have lost their homes and lost their jobs and they're in a worse financial situation than they were before, and a lot of people think in order to make Aliyah you have to come with a lot of money, is it possible for them now to come and make Aliyah since they're even worse off than they were before?
Well, we have had a few people who've had their homes foreclosed, but many people who've lost their jobs, or their jobs no longer creating annual bonuses that we used to. And the pressures here, especially for those families who are paying for Jewish education, are significant. That, combined with the cost of health insurance in North America, makes staying there with a family an expensive proposition. So we're getting a very, very serious increase in the number of young couples who are coming in Aliyah this year. And the other segment of the population that we're getting a phenomenal amount of inquiries from is single university graduates who've completed their studies and are not finding jobs. So they come to Israel. And Israel, the Israeli economy, it's in a situation at the moment where it's waiting for, because we're export-based here, it's waiting for one of the Asian economies to pick up. And you can bet that Israeli businessmen will be pretty quick. And so we're in a situation where we're more likely to rebound from this economic slowdown than the North American economy. So people, it's a fast economic decision. Do they stay in North America and wait for it to pick up, or do they come here where they can be fairly comfortable, Jewish educations are paid for by the State of Israel, health insurance is it's extremely cheap and very, very high quality, and they can make a choice. So it's about, once again, it's people who've considered Aliyah in the past. It's not people who've never considered Aliyah as an option.
So who are the people who are eligible? I mean, are there any Jews that you turn away? Has there ever been a case where Jews said, I want to make Aliyah to Israel, and you've turned them away?
On rare occasions, yes. With people with serious criminal records are not eligible to make Aliyah. Again, the decision is based by the Jewish Agency for Israel, which is responsible for Aliyah eligibility, and they've been given this role by Israel's Ministry of the Interior. So before somebody is rejected, it goes through quite a thorough process. So people who with criminal records may have a problem finding themselves eligible. An additional population of people with serious mental disease may also have a problem. Those are the two main populations who can find themselves with difficulty making Aliyah.
And what about financially? If a person is poor, they don't have any money, they're not living on welfare in America, they're in a rental, they don't own anything, they can't sell, they can't come with any money. What about people like that?
Look, Israel is also, although the economy is somewhat better than the American economy at the moment, it's still a tough place to survive without money. And so we do recommend that people come to some savings. The State of Israel provides some funding, which is given to new immigrants. It's to the tune of about $3,000 or $4,000 per person. And That's called Salkatar, absorption basket, and people can see details of it on the Nefesh B'Nefesh website. Nefesh B'Nefesh also provides some financial assistance to people as need basis to help them with the transition. But nevertheless, some savings are necessary to be able to survive here. People who come here with absolutely nothing, unless they see themselves moving to the workforce very quickly, can find themselves in an extremely stressful situation. Having said that, considering the options, finding a job in America today, many people are gambling that the future is rosier here in Israel.
Is one of the reasons why you encourage people to come with a little bit of a nest egg because, you know, cause I think of like the Ethiopian Jews who came here and they came with nothing, not even shoes, some of them. People, you know, from Russia who came with no savings, people from Argentina, the economy fell there, they came. Is it because that perhaps people, Jews of the West, expect more because they've used to living on a high standard of living and therefore they don't make it here and go back to America? Or do you think that they can make it like everyone else if they just have their expectations set straight?
I think it's a question of expectations right on target. There's lots of people who are aware of the cost of living here and realize they may need to lower their standard of living if they don't have savings or if they're in a tight situation. As long as they're aware of that and the options available to them, then Israel is a good option. But coming with unrealistic expectations that the state of Israel is going to put a roof over your head, I think that's, people need to be do their homework before planning, and plan their aliyah. And like anything in life, plan well and you've got a better chance of success.
Okay, so one more question just on the financial subject, and that is, if somebody is poor, and there are a lot of poor Jews out there who are living on welfare, don't own their own home, and would come in basically with nothing, what would you suggest that they do if they really, they just know that they want to make aliyah, they've had it with the exile, and they want to be home with their people? What would you suggest for them to do?
To do the homework. They need to have realistic expectations of what their standard of living will be in Israel. Will they be able to afford to put a roof over their heads? What does the state of Israel provide for them? What does the state of Israel does not provide? They need to do the homework. And if they come to the conclusion that they can manage, then by all means they should make aliyah. But they have to make an educated decision.
Okay, so Jews that want to come, let's say that you're talking about the regular middle class, is there any other criteria that people have to meet? I have somebody in the virtual studio now who's asking, what about non-Jews? I mean, because it's kind of funny, I get a lot of emails from people who are not Jewish who say they want to make aliyah. What is the stance for?
Well, the most basic criteria to receive Israeli citizenship is Israel's law of return. Which enables anybody who is Jewish to obtain Israeli citizenship. This is, again, it's from 1948. And this law is basically a mirror image of the Nuremberg laws by Nazi Germany. So anybody who is considered or persecuted as a Jew or having Jewish roots by Nazi Germany is entitled to receive Israeli citizenship. So if people fall into that criteria, then they can apply to make aliyah.
So a person who makes aliyah, what is today the basket, quote-unquote, of goods that the Israeli government gives to people?
There are a number of benefits, less than what was available in the past, but they're still significant. The most basic is health insurance for 6 months, and if the person is unemployed even for 12 months, and even after that, health insurance here is just between $50 and $100 a month for a person who's not working. Or for a family that does not have an income. Another benefit is for students is for university education. For a bachelor's or for a master's, if somebody is under the age of 27, then they're entitled to university education in Israel, which is a significant saving for many families. School education here, although officially it's free and there's some extra charges, it's still Jewish education here is significantly cheaper than that in North America. In addition, there's a discount when people buy a car here for a new immigrant, and certain other taxes, there's some discounts. One of the most significant benefits that this was passed into law about a year ago is that anybody who has income coming from outside of Israel, who makes aliyah, they do not have to pay taxes on that income. Not only don't have to pay taxes, they don't even have to report that income to the Israeli authorities for a period of 10 years after they make aliyah. And this has been a serious incentive for many people who've taken their income sources offshore, especially from the United Kingdom, and then they're very comfortable in Israel because they're not paying taxes for the funds are offshore and they're not paying taxes in Israel. So on income earned overseas, there is no taxation for a period of 10 years for those people making aliyah to Israel.
Well, that sounds really good. Now, when I met Annie about 100 years ago, I didn't have to worry about a roof over my head because I came at 18. I had an uncle and aunt that lived there, so I went straight to their house, and then I went to dormitory at university. So I didn't have to worry about things that other people already have families or out in the workplace already. How does it work out that people today arrange that there'll be a place waiting for them before they make all gas, and when they get off the plane, they've got to, they have some place to go to with a roof over their head?
Well, we strongly recommend that people make a pilot trip 3 to 4 months prior to their making all the a pilot trip enables people to choose a community to network and see the potential for finding jobs and also check out education for the kids. And this is a very, very important part of Aliyah preparation. Even if it's only one of the couple that comes here, it is a critical part. During that time, they can look around real estate opportunities as well for rental. Most people who make Aliyah today already have friends here or acquaintances who are able to find them an apartment or a home to rent before they come. And knowing it's a rental, it's not always the perfect home, but it's a place to start off. And people, we've found, are not going any longer. Well, Westerners are not going to absorption centres, or it's rare that they're going to absorption centres. There's a couple of exceptions, like Ulpan and Sion, which is a very successful program of Ulpan Hebrew Learning for singles, which is a dormitory type of operation in Jerusalem. And people use the internet to find rentals as well. So we haven't come across a situation where people do not have where to go.
And what about language? Can somebody who's older, 40s, 50s, 60s, who still has a good amount of years ahead of them where they can work, but they don't speak Hebrew, is it feasible that somebody can imagine that they would be able to find a job where they don't need Hebrew and they can still make a living in Israel?
Look, the job market is tough at the moment, and we strongly encourage people to take Ulpan. My father-in-law made Aliyah a few months ago at the age of 80, and he's completed Ulpan, and Hebrew's pretty good.
Hmm.
I don't think he's looking for employment, but he certainly enjoyed the experience.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly if people want to find a job, the opportunities available are far wider if they do have a grasp of Hebrew. The social environment in the workplace is better if they have a grasp of Hebrew, and the possibilities of upward mobility are also much better if people have a strong grasp of Hebrew. So we push people very, very hard to complete Ulpan. It's free. The State of Israel, the Ministry of Immigrant Absorption, provides a person with 5 months of Ulpan, 5 days a week, 5 hours a day. And some of this absorption basket, which we mentioned before, the financial assistance, is to help people buffer their finances so that they can afford to go to Ulpan in the first few months after their arrival. It's critical.
So you're saying that the Israeli government will put a little bit of money in their bank every month for 5 months, the first 5 months they're here and they're taking Ulpan, so
correct,
they don't have to worry about supporting themselves and they can get a good basic...
Correct. And Ulpan itself is free.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
people generally have very positive experience with the Ulpan, both on a social level and also the Hebrew. The teachers there are usually very, very good.
Right. So can you give us like approximate stats of what we saw the last few years of the amount of new immigrants that came to Israel in the summer as opposed to what you expect this summer to have?
Well, the past year, 2008, had about 3,000 immigrants making Aliyah.
From North America.
Correct. And the coming year, we expect over 4,000. So that's a very significant jump. Now, given the rate of inquiries that we're receiving at the moment, it could even significantly exceed that, where, you know, as you mentioned before, employment rates in the States are very, very high. And people are suddenly realizing they have to afford Jewish education for their kids in the coming year, and it's daunting. So they're really looking at other opportunities here in Israel and coming over. It's a tremendous opportunity for the State of Israel. People are able to, how should I put it, they're able to manage here somewhat easier than North America because there's no cost of Jewish education, because the cost of health insurance is lower. They'd be able to have an opportunity which are not available in North America. And as I mentioned before, the upside of the economy is certainly better than that of the North American economy at the moment.
So what would you tell our brothers and sisters who are still lingering in the exile, hoping that things are going to get better, and want to stick it out there, they're afraid to come, or they're wishy-washy, or whatever? What would you have to tell them?
I think they should read the economic pages of the newspapers and take a decision where their best chances are of being economically sound. If they feel that they can manage Israel, then they should definitely take the jump. I read the papers and the financial papers, and picture in North America is not pretty at the moment with an upside that doesn't particularly good either. So they should come over to Israel and raise their kids here. Anybody who's visited here, seeing that the opportunities here and the way kids are brought up, the social environment. It's different to North America, but it's a healthy environment, far less materialistic, and with different set of values. And for somebody who's looking for a life with a different set of values to that of early North America, Israel is definitely an option.
When you made Aliyah from Australia, I believe, right?
Correct.
Where did you see yourself? I'm sure you didn't see yourself as the vice president of executive director of Nefesh B'Nefesh. Where did you think that you were going to be in Israel?
When I met Aliyah, I wasn't thinking much further than getting my uniform on in the army.
I see. So you're very young age as well.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so you're very Zionistic, just like me. Join the Israeli army, and what will be, right?
And it's worked out well.
Thank God. All right, well, Danny, thank you very much for being with us and sharing this very vital and interesting information with us. And we encourage all of our Jewish brothers and sisters still in the exile to contact the Jewish Agency if there's no Nefesh B'Nefesh in your country.
Jewish Agency to contact. And if you're in North America or the United Kingdom, you can contact Nefesh B'Nefesh, www.nbn.org.il.
Right. Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much for being with us, and we should merit to see more and more and more Jews making Aliyah and coming home to Israel.
I think we'll be talking in a couple of months, and we'll be seeing that coming true.
God will. That would make me very happy.
Okay. Take care.
Be well. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Danny Oberman, Executive Vice President of Operations at Nefesh B'Nefesh, and again, their website, www.nbn.org.il. Go to their website, fill out their forms, come home to your people, to your nation, to your land.